I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of...
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, October 7th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. I'm sort of going through some of the examples, some of the evidence of our descent to madness these days. I was revisiting Toynbee's Christianity Among the Religions of the World. The author of A Study of History surveys the position of Christianity in relation to other religions and in the face of the resurgence of collective self-worship. And it's fascinating how casually folks like Arnold J. Toynbee eulogize Western civilization and, you know, all that sort of coincides or goes along with that. It's a fascinating thing, and it gives you a different perspective on things. So, as we watch the way he put it in this second chapter, chapter two is titled, What Are the Characteristics of the Contemporary World? He says, I want to say something about the characteristics of the contemporary world because this is a world in which Christianity and the other living faiths all find themselves living today. We are conscious, all of us, in our day, that the world is in process of going through a revolution. Under our eyes, in our lifetime, we are seeing an old world dissolving and a new world coming into existence. And this great secular revolution through which we feel ourselves to be passing seems likely to produce a revolution in the relations between the religions. And so this is an interesting premise on which he bases much of his perspective on the way that things are being unshaped and reshaped. He says, let me remind you of one or two of the features of that old world that is now passing away. One of them, which is paradoxical from the point of view of religion, is that in this old world, and the old world is still partly with us today, he says, a meridian decides what is the truth, quote unquote. When Pascal coined that famous phrase, when he said that, what is truth on this side of the Pyrenees is error on the other side of the Pyrenees. He was speaking not about religion, but about law. But in the map of the old world, Pascal's dictum does apply to religion as well. And so he goes on, but it's an interesting litmus test to apply to things today, and we can sort of see that, especially in today's America. Glenn Beck has had some interesting things to say recently on, speaking of changes and revolution, you know, what, based on what is happening today, what we can expect next year, and I have some things to say about that. Speaking of our descent to madness, you know, we've lost our minds. There are people who told us along the way that the things that were good ideas for, well, shall we say, since time immemorial, now suddenly are out of fashion. They're outmoded, as bad guys like to say. So Toynbee would say, to quote Pascal, a meridian decides what is the truth. So you can see that with the COVID nonsense and how deranged there's little homogeny in conversation and things these days. There's a complete breakdown in the order of society, and that not by accident. So what is evidence of our descent to madness? More evidence of our descent to madness. First, how about we start with Exhibit A? Exhibit A is Joey and his crazy things that he says. This one is particularly egregious. How can people take a guy seriously who says things like this? Go ahead, please.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Yeah. How can anybody take that guy seriously? And so, again, you know, you think of Hayek, The Road to Serfdom, Why the Worst Get on Top, and in a society where we hear, you know, representative, whatever, some sort of representative form of government, are we the people not, in some sense, responsible for this kind of nonsense? How about an excerpt from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth? And again, just to, as a reminder, the moral consequences, Hayek writes, of totalitarian propaganda, which we are experiencing in America, by the way, which we must now consider are, however, of an even more profound kind. The moral consequences of totalitarian propaganda. They are destructive of all morals because they undermine one of the foundations of all morals, the sense of and the respect for truth. Can we not see that? I have a couple of entries of comedic relief. I don't know how much relief they provide, but to show the absurdity of these kinds of things. Again, the ancient Latin maxim, castigat redendo mores, humor corrects morals, should apply with force. So Hayek wrote, we've seen that agreement on that complete ethical code, that all comprehensive system of values, which is implicit in an economic plan, does not exist in a free society, but would have to be created. Well, we've had that since, shall we say, the 30s. But we must not assume that the planner will approach his task aware of that need, or that even if he were aware of it, it would be possible to create such a comprehensive code in advance. He only finds out about the conflicts between different needs as he goes along, and he has to make his decisions as the necessity arises. The code of values guiding his decisions does not exist in abstracto. Before the decisions have to be made, it has to be created with the particular decisions. Have we not been experiencing this, particularly in the so-called COVID era? And it creates a sort of ad hoc condition where people become reliant on the next thing and the next thing, and it creates a dis-ease in society. And then you can see people lean in and become more reliant on the explanations that don't explain, as Fred Hampton, I believe it was, said. We've also seen how this inability to separate the general problem of values from the particular decisions makes it impossible that a democratic body, while unable to decide the technical details of a plan, should yet determine the values guiding it. And while the planning authority will constantly have to decide issues on merits, about which there exist no definite moral rules, it will have to justify its decisions to the people, or at least have somehow to make the people believe that they are the right decisions. Although those responsible for a decision may have been guided by no more than prejudice, some guiding principle will have to be stated publicly if the community is not merely passively to submit, but actively to support the measure. The need to rationalize the likes and dislikes, which, for lack of anything else, must guide the planner in many of his decisions, and the necessity of stating his reasons in a form in which they will appeal to as many people as possible, will force him to construct theories, i.e. assertions about the connections between facts, which then become an integral part of the governing doctrine. But here's the point. This process of creating a myth, quote-unquote, to justify his action need not be conscious. The totalitarian leader may be guided merely by an instinctive dislike of the state of things. He has found a desire to create a new hierarchical order which conforms better to his conception of merit. He may merely know that he dislikes the Jews, who seemed to be so successful in an order which did not provide a satisfactory place for him, and that he loves and admires the tall blonde man, the aristocratic figure of the novels of his youth. So he will readily embrace theories which seem to provide a rational justification for the prejudices which he shares with many of his fellows. Thus, a pseudo-scientific theory becomes part of the official creed, which to a greater or lesser degree directs everybody's action. Thus, a pseudo-scientific theory becomes part of the official creed, which to a greater or lesser degree directs everybody's action. Are we not seeing that, especially over the last 18 months? Or the widespread dislike of the industrial civilization and a romantic yearning for country life, together with a probably erroneous idea about the special value of country people as soldiers, provide the basis for another myth, Blut und Boden, blood and soil, expressing not merely ultimate values but a whole host of beliefs about cause and effect, which once they have become ideals directing the activity of the whole community must not be questioned. The need for such official doctrines as an instrument of directing and rallying the efforts of the people has been clearly foreseen by the various theoreticians of the totalitarian system. Plato's noble lies, quote-unquote, and Sorel's myths, quote-unquote, serve the same purpose as the racial doctrine of the Nazis, or the theory of the corporative state of Mussolini, or, you know, the COVID narrative in today's America and beyond. They are all necessarily based on particular views about facts, which are then elaborated into scientific theories in order to justify a preconceived opinion. most effective way of making people accept the validity of the values they are to serve is to persuade them that they are really the same as those which they, or at least the best among them, have always held, but which were not properly understood or recognized before. Are we not seeing this? The people are made to transfer their allegiance from the old gods to the new under the pretense that the new gods really are what their sound instinct had always told them, but what before they had only dimly seen. And the most efficient technique to this end is to use the old words but change their meaning. I hear the ghost of Aldous Huxley. Few traits of totalitarian regimes are at the same time so confusing to the superficial observer and yet so characteristic of the whole intellectual climate as the complete perversion of language, the change of meaning of the words by which the ideals of the new regimes are expressed. The worst sufferer in this respect is, of course, the word liberty. It is a word used as freely in totalitarian states as elsewhere. Indeed, it could almost be said, and it should serve as a warning to us, to be on our guard against all the tempters who promise us new liberties for old. That wherever liberty, as we understand it, has been destroyed, this has almost always been done in the name of some new freedom promised to the people. Even among us, we have planners for freedom, quote unquote, who promise us a collective freedom for the group, quote unquote. Does this not ring true in the COVID era? The nature of which may be gathered from the fact that its advocates find it necessary to assure us that, quote, naturally, the advent of planned freedom does not mean that all earlier forms of freedom must be abolished, quote unquote. Dr. Carl Mannheim, from whose work these sentences are taken, at least warns us that, quote, a conception of freedom modeled on the preceding age is an obstacle to any real understanding of the problem, end quote. But his use of the word freedom, quote unquote, is as misleading as it is in the mouth of totalitarian politicians. Like their freedom, the collective freedom, quote unquote, he offers us is not the freedom of the members of society, but the unlimited freedom of the planner to do with society what he pleases. It is the confusion of freedom with power carried to the extreme. In this particular case, the perversion of the meaning of the word has, of course, been well prepared by a long line of German philosophers, and not least by many of the theoreticians of socialism. But freedom or liberty are by no means the only words whose meaning has been changed into their opposites to make them serve as instruments of totalitarian propaganda. We've already seen how the same happens to justice and law and right and equality. The list could be extended until it includes almost all moral and political terms in general use. If one has not oneself experienced this process, it is difficult to appreciate the magnitude of this change of the meaning of words, the confusion which it causes, and the barriers to any rational discussion which it creates. Has to be seen to be understood how, if one of two brothers embraces the new faith, after a short while he appears to speak a different language, which makes any real communication between them impossible. And the confusion becomes worse because this change of meaning of the words describing political ideals is not a single event but a continuous process, a technique employed consciously or unconsciously to direct the people. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know?
All right. All having fun. So, more evidence of our descent to madness. Again, Exhibit B, Joey. Go ahead, please.
Anybody who can throw coal into a furnace can learn how to program, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's that simple. It's just that simple. The complete perversion of language and logic and really all things. It's the disintegration of things. So, continuing with Hayek, you know, tell me this is not what we're experiencing. Gradually, as this process continues, the whole language becomes despoiled, and words become empty shells deprived of any definite meaning, as capable of denoting one thing as its opposite and used solely for the emotional associations which still adhere to them. It is not difficult to deprive the great majority of independent thought. It is not difficult to deprive the great majority of independent thought. That's a really sad statement, but, you know, I guess. Fooling all of the people some of the time. But the minority who will retain an inclination to criticize must also be silenced. Have we seen that in the last 18 or so months? We've already seen why coercion cannot be confined to the acceptance of the ethical code underlying the plan, according to which all social activity is directed. Since many parts of this code will never be explicitly stated, do you get that sense? There are answers that we are seeking, but we are not getting. Since many parts of the guiding scale of values will exist only implicitly in the plan, the plan itself in every detail, in fact, every act of the government must become sacrosanct and exempt from criticism. Have we seen this? If the people are to support the common effort without hesitation, they must be convinced that not only the end aimed at, but also the means chosen are the right ones. Ends justify means, and therefore means are always the right ones. The official creed to which adherence must be enforced will therefore comprise all the views about facts on which the plan is based. The official creed which adherence must be enforced will therefore comprise all the views about the facts on which the plan is based. Again, are we not seeing this? Public criticism or even expressions of doubt must be suppressed because they tend to weaken public support. As the Web's report of the position in every Russian enterprise, quote, whilst the work is in progress, any public expression of doubt or even fear that the plan will not be successful is in fact of disloyalty and even of treachery because of its possible effects on the will and on the efforts of the rest of the staff, end quote. When the doubt or fear expressed concerns not the success of a particular enterprise, but of the whole social plan, it must be treated even more as sabotage. I said last year, and I am not the only one, there are a lot of us paying attention, and who knew this obviously was coming, but that eventually we get to a point where if you didn't do all of these crazy things that don't make sense and defy actual science, that you would be construed as some kind of domestic terrorist. And we're just about there, if we're not already. And so this line, when the doubt or fear expressed concerns not the success of a particular enterprise, but of the whole social plan, it must be treated even more as sabotage. And I listened to Congressman Mike Lee, for example, talking about his anti-mandate proposed legislation. I guess I'll finish that thought on the other side of the break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. All right, more evidence of our descent to madness. You know, this this guy is supposed to be the president, the leader of the free world, they say. Whatever. Anyway, Exhibit C, Joe Biden. Go ahead, please.
$1.2 billion. So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who runs the brings out the carts on a forklift. What happens? They make you management. You can't get paid overtime. And you see it happen with labor as well. So the bottom line is, I'm for you because America needs you to grow.
Okay. These things that he says that make absolutely no sense. Yeah. Word salsa or word salad, something like that. These are not the best examples of what I'm reading about in Hayek's Road to Serfdom. chapter 11, the end of truth, but they sort of typify the despoiling of language. Gradually, as this process continues, the whole language becomes despoiled and words become empty shells deprived of any definite meaning. As capable of denoting one thing as its opposite and used solely for the emotional associations which still adhere to them. That's what we see, and that's what that's exactly what Aldous Huxley talked about. We're going to use the same old slogans, but the whole system is going to change. And like I said, Toynbee was very casual about it. Oh yeah, the old system is passing away. New systems. So continuing and then moving on. Again, when the doubt or fear expressed concerns not the success of a particular enterprise, but the whole social plan, it must be treated even more as sabotage. You can hear this in the conversations, you know, the Mike Lees, the Ron Johnsons, etc., etc. These folks who say, you know, like when Mike Lee is saying, hey, I have all of these folks calling. It's not just his constituents. Apparently there is just this flood of, you know, this outpouring of folks saying, hey, save us from this nonsense. So he's talking about people who may have health concerns. And there he says, board certified doctor says, you know, maybe you shouldn't take this thing because maybe it won't be good for you. Maybe it'll be harmful, actually. And then there's the whole conversation about natural immunity, which gets right back to the perversion of language in precisely the fashion that Hayek is writing here in Chapter 11, The End of Truth. But you can see, again, you know, when the doubt or fear expressed concerns not the success of a particular enterprise, but of the whole social plan, it must be treated even more as sabotage, as it applies generally to what's happening. I mean, you start thinking about this whole COVID era nonsense and the response of the World Economic Forum, for example. You know, some of the most powerful, influential folks in the world get together at a semi-secret, semi-private little club and decide how they want to run the world, and then, you know, publish that on places like CNBC or whatever. You can see how this little COVID thing is not just an isolated little silo. And we can also see, based on what is happening worldwide, it's not isolated. It incorporates everything. I mean, you read what the World Economic Forum published, Great Reset nonsense, for example, and how they are just salivating over the possibility that everything could collapse and now we can start something new. So, one of the best evidences, just to kind of finish the thought, is when you listen to someone like Mike Lee say that he, you know, we've talked about it on this broadcast. Some people have brought it up. Callers have brought it up. The fact that folks like Mike Lee are saying, and Ron Johnson and everybody that seems to be championing the cause of liberty is not entirely. Because of this thing that I'm describing that Hayek wrote about in the chapter 11 of The Road to Serfdom titled The End of Truth. So they have to throw in the little qualifying statement, the little disclaimer. And I, you know, I'm not anti-vax. In fact, I got my whole family got the COVID, the COVAX, you know. I'll just call it that. I know that's a product, but which is also ironic. But there's always that disclaimer, isn't there? And that really speaks to Hayek's point. When the doubt or fear expressed concerns not the success of a particular enterprise, but the whole social plan, it must be treated even more as sabotage. So they say, you know, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not a saboteur. And we have spoken about this in places like, you know, on this network, for example, about how everybody seems to be collapsing under this pressure, this coercion. So like Hayek wrote, we have already seen why coercion cannot be confined to the acceptance of the ethical code underlying the plan according to which all social activity is directed. Since many parts of this code will never be explicitly stated, since many parts of the guiding scale of values will exist only implicitly in the plan, and it's more effective if you don't know, because again, if you study systematic desensitization and those kinds of call it Pavlovian, Skinnerian conditioning, then if it's seemingly arbitrary and not systematic or at regular intervals that you can expect and know, then it's more effective. And that corresponds to what folks like Milton Mayer wrote about in They Thought They Were Free. People just getting acclimated to, you know, kind of the emergency form of government. All of this, these are all signs, mileposts on the road to serfdom, as Hayek put it. Facts and theories must thus become no less the object of an official doctrine than views about values. And the whole apparatus for spreading knowledge, the schools, the press, radio, and motion picture, will be used exclusively to spread those views which, whether true or false, will strengthen the belief in the righteousness of the decisions taken by the authority. And all information that might cause doubt or hesitation will be withheld. Is any of this ringing a bell? The probable effect on the people's loyalty to the system becomes the only criterion for deciding whether a particular piece of information is to be published or suppressed. This is information warfare. This is psychological warfare. And, you know, other things, obviously, mimetic warfare and so on. The situation in a totalitarian state is permanently and in all fields the same that it is elsewhere in some fields in wartime. The situation in a totalitarian state is permanently and in all fields the same that it is elsewhere in some fields in wartime. Everything which might cause doubt about the wisdom of the government or create discontent will be kept from the people. The basis of unfavorable comparisons with conditions elsewhere, the knowledge of possible alternatives to the course actually taken, information which might suggest failure on the part of the government to live up to its promises or to take advantage of opportunities to improve conditions, all will be suppressed. What have we seen when it comes to, you know, so Dr. Brian Artis says that the remdesivir protocol is killing people by causing renal failure, by causing kidney failure. And we're being told that it's something else, you know, and pulmonary edema, secondary pneumonia, these kinds of things. But we're not being told the truth about how the remdesivir protocol works to do this. And at the same time, things like, you know, ivermectin protocols are suppressed and vilified and so forth. So many things that work. You know, the Zelenko protocol was one early on, and Dr. Zelenko said, I mean, he wasn't very vocal about it, but hey, you know, this is working. He was just trying to share the information because that's what a doctor who lives by the Hippocratic Oath does. We did this. This is working. This is actually working. It's working very well, and there's no evidence of it not working. And we're using something, by the way, that has been in wide use for the last 70 years or so. So this seems to be working really well. We can do this. Nope. Everything which might cause doubt about the wisdom of the government or create discontent will be kept from the people. The basis of unfavorable comparisons with conditions elsewhere, the knowledge of possible alternatives to the course actually taken. You know what? We've spent billions and billions and billions of dollars. Remember the clip of Ursula von der Leyen that we played being interviewed? So since it's, you know, a threat to mankind, all mankind, should the vaccine belong to everyone? We have enough stakeholders already. So, you know what? That's okay. No thanks. We've invested billions and billions of dollars. We can't. Failure is not an option. The knowledge of possible alternatives to the course actually taken, information which might suggest failure on the part of the government to live up to its promises. How many times has Fauci moved the line? One shot for life. Okay, maybe two shots for life. Okay, you might need maybe two shots every. Okay, maybe some boosters every once in a while. How many times have we seen that? And now, I haven't watched these yet. I cringe even thinking about it. But where is it? These, let's see, digital medic at Stanford University. What can I do after I've been vaccinated for COVID-19? American Heart Association, what's safe after the COVID-19 vaccine? What do you mean what's safe? You're told that the impression that is conveyed is, hey, you're golden, everything's great. Nope. What's the reality? Not so much. Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Can unvaccinated kids mix with vaccinated adults? What? These are, I mean, this is astounding. Absolutely astounding. The basis of unfavorable comparisons with conditions elsewhere, the knowledge of possible alternatives to the course actually taken, information which might suggest failure on the part of the government to live up to its promises or take advantage of opportunities to improve conditions, all will be suppressed. When Jimmy Dore is talking to Joe Rogan and he says, I was just trying to tell people, hey, this is what happened, you know, because that might be valuable information for some people. And he said, I was censored heavily. I can't even say this is what actually happened. There is consequently no field where the systematic control of information will not be practiced and uniformity of views not enforced. Is any of this ringing a bell? This applies even to fields apparently most remote from any political interest and apparently and particularly to all the sciences, even the most abstract. That in the disciplines dealing directly with human affairs and therefore most immediately affecting political views, such as history, law, or economics, the disinterested search for truth cannot be allowed in a totalitarian system, and the vindication of the official views becomes the sole object. Is any of this ringing a bell? Is easily seen and has been amply confirmed by experience. But I guess we are to remain always children, as Cicero put it, because we don't remember history, do we? We don't value it. Like Hayek said, you know, you can't understand it until you experience this phenomenon in practice or at work. And we are experiencing it, dear comrades. These disciplines have indeed in all totalitarian countries become the most fertile factories of the official myths which the rulers use to guide the minds and wills of their subjects. It is not surprising that in these spheres even the pretense that they search for truth is abandoned and that the authorities decide what doctrines ought to be taught and published. Totalitarian control of opinion extends, however, also to subjects which at first seem to have no political significance. Sometimes it is difficult to explain why a particular doctrine should be officially prescribed or why others should be encouraged. And it is curious that these likes and dislikes are apparently somewhat similar in the different totalitarian systems. I think I'll leave that there for now, but you know, it reminds me of Jay Leno recently saying comedians must adapt their jokes and routines to cancel culture, for example. And obviously to the vax nonsense, but you know, doesn't the comedians must, for Jay Leno to say comedians must adapt their jokes and routines to things when historically that's been kind of sacred ground? You're either, you know, with Seth Meyers or you're not. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Just a few more excerpts from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 11, The End of Truth, and then we will move on. All animals are created equal. Some are created more equal than others. Speaking of barn slogans, we'll get there. So, it seems that, okay, so, skipping ahead. Think about the term science, how it's been misused and abused. You know, we are the party of science. We're on the side of science. The science is settled. All that nonsense over the last 18 months. It seems that pure mathematics is no less a victim, and that even the holding of particular views about the nature of continuity can be ascribed to bourgeois prejudices, quote unquote. According to the Webs, the Journal for Marxist-Leninist Natural Sciences has the following slogans: "We stand for party in mathematics. We stand for the purity of Marxist-Leninist theory in surgery," quote unquote. The situation seems to be very similar in Germany. The Journal of National Socialist Association of Mathematicians is full of party in mathematics, quote unquote. Could we say science or party in science? We are the party of science. And so whether you are Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, are you the party of science? And one of the best known German physicists, the Nobel Prizeman Leonhard, has summed up his life's work under the title German Physics in four volumes. It is entirely in keeping with the whole spirit of totalitarianism that it condemns any human activity done for its own sake and without ulterior purpose. Science for science's sake, art for art's sake, are equally abhorrent to the Nazis, our socialist intellectuals, and the communists. Every act must derive its justification from a conscious social purpose. There must be no spontaneous, unguided activity, because it might produce results which cannot be foreseen and for which the plan does not provide. It might produce something new, undreamed of, in the philosophy of the planner. Principle extends even to games and amusements. Incredible as some of these aberrations may appear, we must yet be on our guard not to dismiss them as mere accidental byproducts which have nothing to do with the essential character of a planned and or totalitarian system. They are not. They are a direct result of that same desire to see everything directed by a unitary conception of the whole, quote unquote, of the need to uphold at all costs the views in the service of which people are asked to make constant sacrifices, and of the general idea that the knowledge and beliefs of the people are an instrument to be used for a single purpose. Once science has to serve not truth, but the interests of a class, a community, or a state, the sole task of argument and discussion is to vindicate and to spread still further the beliefs by which the whole life of the community is directed. As the Nazi Minister of Justice has explained, the question which every new scientific theory must ask itself is, do I serve National Socialism for the greatest benefit of all? Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
We have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.